You there?
Mr. Tinsley, we are recording a podcast live right now.
That sounds awesome.
All right, man. So, I was thinking, we call this podcast the Creek Cuts Podcast. What do you think?
Sounds great. Kids got a lot of good selections to talk about, so a lot of great input. So,
yeah, so let's just, before we jump into anything, you want to tell some people, whoever's listening, if anyone's listening, about what you were brainstorming and came up with, and then how that evolved into what we're doing now?
Well, just as in life, man, it's like when anything big kind of happens, there's always like this musical response, or there's like a song that can kind of set the healing, you know, healing fires burning, you know what I mean? So it got me thinking, like, you know, I was sitting there trying to rack my brain of songs, and I kept thinking of a few, and I was just like, well, you know, communities always come together at these things as well. Like whenever, you know, there's any type of national anything, you find out how strong your community is, and you see how everybody wants to build and rally around others. So it just lended itself to be like, you know, let's all share some music that makes us feel good and kind of changes the trajectory of things. So that way we can, you know, they always say two heads are better than one, but then when you got, you know, a whole building full of teachers, you know, and their ideas, it's, it just adds more to, and gives more, insight, more experience, more, just variety, you know, because everybody comes from such different walks and has their own things. And I know there's a few songs on there that I checked out that I'd never seen before and listened to, and I was like really glad that I'd now heard of them so that I can put them on my playlist. So
yeah, it's a great point when you threw out the idea to everyone to put some songs together to try to bring spirits up of everyone in the community. That was a great idea, number one, but I had the exact sentiment that you did when I went through there, and it was really interesting to see certain teachers put the songs that they put. And, you know, like these are songs that we're creating for kids, for their families, and, you know, like we do a lot of times, I feel like we try to box people in, and yeah. It was really insightful for me to see, like, I thought I had put this teacher in a box, for better or worse, and they come up with this song like this and just kind of blew me away. So that was really interesting. And so the playlist was in and of itself a great idea, and still working on putting that together in a medium that everybody can access. And then we started talking. I wanted to steal some of your thunder, and I said, hey, let's put this into a podcast. Let's act like we're some music critics. You more positioned to do that than myself. And let's just talk about a few of the songs that we put on that playlist, and maybe what we were thinking about the song, what kind of memories it conjures up, why we wanted kids to hear it, and then maybe throw in a little anecdotal history information in there too. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds awesome. We can definitely do that. I thought I should mention something though. You said something about me being more so the expert. I think that's kind of the actual opposite idea, because a lot of these people, a lot of these bands, there was just a kid and a guitar like in their house, not knowing what they were doing, trying to figure it out. And then they, you know, here they are making like game-changing songs, game-changing music that like changes the whole world. And it's like, you know, it's one thing about music is everybody loves it, but they also have the people they love and they don't love. So it's like, I don't know that there really is necessarily experts, but I do think it's cool to get, you know, like I love learning, and I love learning about people. It's like one of my favorite things, and music is the quickest way I've been able to use to do that. And so I think you're going to provide a great deal of more of insight than you probably think. So don't sell yourself short there.
All right, so let's test this out. Done podcasts before, never tried to throw music in there, so we're gonna see how this goes. So we're gonna go ahead and end this segment, and then we're gonna come back for another one right after this. And I don't know what this is, but it feels like it should be a commercial or something.
Yeah, our advertisers.
Yeah. So that's what happens. You disconnect from the other person calling in. So I wanted to intentionally speak that out loud because what will happen when this is finally recorded and pushed out is basically people will hear a 30-second segment of the song that we are getting ready to talk about. So we'll make that sound better for all of the other songs, but I think we should leave that in there now. So I just wanted to start with the four that you shared with me. And the first one that I put was Meanwhile by Mac McAnally. So what made you want to put that one on there?
That song, man, when that every once in a while, man, you'll come across a song that just hits you like a ton of bricks. It's like you weren't ready for the message it had or the way it was going to make you feel. And then all of a sudden, like, there it is. And it was like, it's become like my life's anthem because the gist of the song is like what he wrote was, and he wrote this very early in his career, and he meant for it to be kind of like his guiding post. And he was talking about like, it's like life when life is happening, like the things that really matter when life is happening. And so like you might be going through like a dark time, something might be difficult, or you know, things just aren't going your way. And meanwhile, like, you know, flowers are growing and fading, you know, it's just like all the other things in life that make life so magical and so awesome. It's like those things still happen, even though you're going through tough times. And, you know, I went and saw him in concert because I'm a huge Jimmy Buffett fan, and he is basically Jimmy Buffett's like right-hand man and the writer of basically half of Jimmy's songs. But he does, like, when he used to come up to Bristow, like Mac McAnally used to play at a local venue that was much smaller, much more intimate. And he would play his own solo stuff the night in between the two concerts that Jimmy Buffett was doing. And it was basically him and his acoustic guitar. And sometimes he would invite other people up on the stage to play with him from the band or other people he knew. And he would tell the story of the song before he played it. And then he'd play the song. So it was like storytellers. It was just awesome. And, you know, when I heard it, I was like, where's this song been? Like all my life, I felt kind of cheated because it had been around as long as I've been around. And I hadn't heard it until like, you know, I was like mid 20s or something. And ever since then, it's basically been my anthem. He just, his way of words, his lyrics, you know, the story he paints, like it's just, it puts you, it's just the best perspective you can get. So.
Yeah, it's a great story. And I know that he's written some hits for Kenny Chesney as well.
Yeah.
And you alluded to this, but he's an amazing songwriter. And I think a lot of times those guys don't, and girls don't get the attention that they rightfully deserve. Right. But when they finally do come out from behind the page and the pencil and start playing their own songs, and like to your point, being up there actually telling the story and playing, you know, behind what was written, man, it really is a powerful thing.
Oh, it is. It is, man. And he, there's a country group called Sawyer Brown. They did a couple of his songs. Like he's been like musician of the year for the Country Music Association or something like that for like the last 6-7 years. Like, when I was doing my research on it, I couldn't believe, like, you know, like he's getting the attention, but it's like, it's in that circle. It's not so much outside of it, which is really wild to me, but he is undoubtedly one of the greatest storytellers like out there, and a really crazy talented musician too. It's just, he's like the perfect storm.
Yeah. All right, so that's Meanwhile, Mac McAnally. We're going to move on to our second song, which is More Than a Feeling by Boston.
Yeah.
So that will play. We'll try to not do, like, so people just hear this, whatever, it's no big deal. We're not going to go back and edit. They're not paying us anything for this. We will just say the song name, kind of pause for a minute. That song will play when they listen to it, and then we'll just start talking about it.
Sounds good.
All right. So More Than a Feeling, Boston, here it is. All right, Mr. Tinsley, what made you throw up More Than a Feeling by Boston? Because this is one of those songs for me that you mentioned, you know, just being Meanwhile, Mac McAnally being kind of a soundtrack song to your life. I'm not saying that this one is one for me, but this is one of those songs that just seems ubiquitous across our country.
Yeah. But the song is just awesome. Like, there's so much about it, the guitar riffs, the singing, the harmony, like the riff that every time the melody comes in, like the main chorus, I mean, it's just driving. It's, and then, like, when you research what the song is actually about, the whole song is about him getting in his car and listening to one of his favorite songs. So, like, it's the power of music, and it's a song about the power of music, and how it just transforms what you're going through. Like, he just talks about in the very beginning, like, you know, it's early in the morning, he's getting in his car, he pushes play, all of a sudden a song he wasn't ready for, like I was saying before, comes on. And he says, I close my eyes and I drift away. And then all of a sudden he's just transported to somewhere else. And it's like in the middle of the lyrics of the song. And I even tried to like do research as to like, well, what was that song? And ironically, they don't know for sure which song it was, but they, the Left Bank, Walk Away Renee was what somebody said. And that was a song that I absolutely loved too. It was one of those songs, I don't know why I always loved it so much, but, and you know, someone said like, they think that was the song. So it's just, it was kind of like its own little Easter egg hunt, but it's like, it tells the story while also presenting the story. You know what I mean? It's just, it's crazy. And plus it's Boston. I mean, Boston, they were just a really amazing group that I think were really underrated for the talent level that they had and the music that they wrote. I mean, it just was always good stuff. So.
And I love that imagery of just sitting in your car or just sitting wherever you are and letting that music take you away to another place and just bringing it to stuff in the classroom. You know, I think we ignore the power of music, not just you and your space teaching it, but what it really means for a kid that has some headphones in and is listening to something while they're doing their work or walking through the hallway, man. Like, school is tough.
Yeah.
And sometimes I know I need it. That's why I have music going all the time. But sometimes kids need that music to just take them away in the middle of the school day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, they can't wait to put their earbuds in. And, you know, like at 3:15, when it's time for the, allow them to do that, like, that's like what most of them do. And it's like, they've been looking forward to that for at some point in the day, that's that got in their head and they couldn't wait till when it was that part of the day. I mean, I know when I get in the car to drive home, like, it's like windows down, radio up. I mean,
yep.
One of my favorite things. So, you know, it's pretty amazing. So it's transformative. That's for sure.
All right. Song number three. If you haven't heard this one, you must have been under a rock the last 50 years. But it is What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. Mr. Tinsley, what made you throw this one on there, buddy?
So, Louis Armstrong, like, what he was to music, like, anything you listen to, no matter country, rock and roll, hip hop, rap, disco, like whatever you listen to, when you trace the roots back, it goes directly to New Orleans, and it goes to like guys like Louis Armstrong that were like just on the front lines of it. And I always speak very highly just of jazz when I'm in my class, because it was like the purest thing to come from the most crippling circumstances. Like, basically, yeah. at that time, you know, people of color, they weren't supposed to have anything. They couldn't be classically trained on an instrument because they were the wrong color. And so these guys do it. They're like, okay, well, if you won't teach me how to play trumpet, like, and I have this trumpet from my attic, I'm just going to figure it out. And so then, like, all of a sudden, one guy's figuring it out. And they're like, hey, that sounds cool. I have this in my attic. Can we try to play that? And then all of a sudden, they join in. And so, like, from the most innocent and most unlikely of places, all of a sudden, you have people that haven't been classically trained, all of a sudden, like, changing the rules of music and making it, you know, instead of, like, a straight... eighth notes, unless I'm getting a little technical here, but that, 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 like that, they changed it to da, ba, da, ba, da, ba, da, ba. And it was coming from the ragtime, which was, goes back to Scott Joplin and the Entertainer and all the older stuff that was on piano, again, who wasn't classically trained, but again, they switched it up just to kind of make it work. And so from these roots comes like the Beatles go back to like listening to Muddy Waters. Muddy Waters goes back to listening to Louis Armstrong, you know? And so like this whole parenting tree of amazing music is birthed from these really innocent, non-classically trained, and they weren't allowed just because they were of color. And it just is crazy to me that like from this, like it bred like all the music anybody listens to and enjoys nowadays, like the British invasion when the Beatles came over with all the other groups and kind of changed America and set it on its heels. Like when they ask them where they get their roots from, it goes right back to America in New Orleans. And it's just like, oh wait, you know, we don't talk about them. And then there they are like changing the world. And so when Louis Armstrong like wrote the song and the lyrics, it was like a pivotal time. Like it's the middle of civil rights. Here he is, a person that's not supposed to be having anything, and he's telling everybody, especially the young black kids, like, "Hey, keep your dream, keep going." Because when I look at the world, I see trees of green. I see, you know, baby smiles, you know, like this is what I see. You know, I can say, yeah, the other stuff is there, but this is what I see. This is what I want you to see. And then you can change the world like me. And so like, it seems simplistic. It doesn't seem like, you know, cause nowadays we don't have the context, but when you put it into context of the times, it's pivotal. Like it changes the world.
Yeah, that's spot on. And I think it ties nicely to, in a way, the Mac McAnally song that you're talking about, is that, you know, life's going on, life is moving, and it's moving in 100 different directions, but it's also about just stopping and being present and the perspective that you hold on the world despite what obstacles, what hardships you're currently experiencing.
Yeah. And like music's that answer. It's like, you know, I'm going to look at this instead. And perspective, it's such a mighty thing, because when you can switch that, it really does change everything. And, you know, it came from like the most innocent place and the most uneducated and underprivileged place. And their answer to everything was to do the opposite of what the world had done to them. They're like, well, let's share in it. And, you know, that's why it's not unheard of for somebody to bring a banjo into a jazz club. They're like, come play it. That's cool. And they're like, well, that's like a bluegrass instrument. No, you can do jazz on that. You know, and that was just their attitude, you know, and some people just brought spoons, you know, and it's yeah, just jazz. They're like, jazz is not an instrument. It's a person trying to create and create with others, you know, and it's just amazing. I just will never lose my appreciation for what that was and what that meant for me as a young musician trying to learn my way through this, and then becoming a teacher and trying to teach other young musicians how to do the same. So,
and for anyone listening that hasn't seen the Ken Burns documentary titled Jazz, you definitely should. That one, yeah, opens up in New Orleans. It's a great, great, documentary. I don't know how exactly, if it's free now. I know you can catch it on PBS often. I'm sure they have segments of it on YouTube, so definitely check that out.
For sure.
All right, number four. I want you back, Jackson 5. Got to know about this one.
Well, so this one, it's tough because, you know, with Michael Jackson, he just had such a checkered life. And it all hinges way back to his involvement in the Jackson 5 and being basically having a abusive father who basically saw his family as not necessarily family, but like a cash cow. And so he knew they were talented. He knew if they could, he could get them singing and performing, he would make money. And, you know, I remember reading stories like how they performed and like they rehearsed all day long and they were made to do their homework while they ate. So they didn't waste time, performance time and rehearsal time. And so it was just really rigorous. It was very demanding, you know, and his dad ended up really causing him a lot of problems and a lot of the members of the family problems. And, but when it was time to perform, you didn't see any of that on any of them. And it was about as wholesome as it gets, you know, and like you get to see this young budding artist that's just like in his very, very early stage of life, start to realize he has wings, and then he starts to flap them, and then he goes on to become like the king of pop. And like his family is also very musical as well. And like his sister goes on, and he even had another brother that was pretty involved with music continually. But, you know, Michael Jackson was basically the guy that that kind of pioneered all of that for like essentially like three decades. He spanned it all, you know, and just, you know, knowing his roots and then to hear him sing, it was like music was his escape. So even though he was going through all this tough times and this abusive, rigorous, like demanding father, he, when it came time to sing, all of that went away. And there was no evidence on him anytime he was singing. Like anytime he was performing, he was in that moment and he was there for the people singing. And his job was to change people's lives in that moment. Like, hey, I'm here to make you happy. And the song itself, I mean, it's, you know, I think I even put in the comments, I was like, you know, if it's good enough for Baby Groot to dance to, like, that song transcends. Like you can't help but hear it and start, you know, like that opening like guitar riff and everything. Like it just, man, it's just good vibes like immediately. And it's just cool. It's just an amazing song. It makes me feel good, but it makes me feel good knowing like he was able to transcend his current circumstances, you know, and use music as his way out. So.
You think there's any subliminal messaging in there to the students at Hungry Creek for throwing that one on there?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Everything's on purpose.
That's right. All right, so we hit your four. Anything you want to add about those four wasn't said already?
No, I just would encourage kids to check them out. Check as much new music as they can out because you got a lot of time right now and there's nothing wrong with seeing what new is out there, especially from others that can speak passionately about, you know, obviously the song means something if a teacher mentioned it. So then it can lend itself to a conversation, you know, reaching out to that teacher and being like, so why did you pick that as your song? Like, what makes it, what is it about that song? You know, and then conversations, you know, forge stronger relationships and just makes everybody better. So it takes the alone away, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. And just kind of PSA here briefly, just something that I'm noticing and experiencing is that I don't have a lot of messages and communication coming my way. And a lot of the teachers that I've talked to are experiencing the same thing. And that's no slight on parents. It's no shade being thrown at the kids listening to this. But I just want to encourage you all that we are waiting by the phone to communicate with you all. And like Mr. Tinsley suggested, I think that might be a, a great way to get a conversation going. Look, it doesn't need to be about content specific conversations. Talk about that song. Do exactly what Mr. Tinsley said. Reach out and say, "Hey, why'd you pick that song?" Or even better, maybe share one that really speaks to you during this time or has spoken to you at a time before, and get the conversation going that way. Because, like we've been talking about, the music, it transcends anything. And I'll go out and put this one on record, and people can get mad at me or not behind this. You know, I would rather talk to you all about music and things that have nothing to do with Tech Ed Classroom than not talk to anyone at all over the next few months. Sure. All right. So I got a few too.
Yeah.
Do you know all of the songs?
I do now. I checked them out after you shared them with me. So
I want to just start with the Country Roads song, originally written by John Denver, but the version I sent was performed by Toots and the Maytals. So if you all don't know Toots and the Maytals, I bet you actually do. They've put out a number of hit songs, but this version is basically identical to the John Denver version. The only difference is that Toots and the Maytals, they are from Jamaica. So instead of West Virginia, they throw in the lyric of West Jamaica. Everything else is the same. Yeah. And I've just always liked the song. It has always been one that reminds me of where I grew up. And, you know, where I grew up in Salem, Roanoke, Virginia, it wasn't super country roads-like, but we definitely had country roads. And when that phrase is uttered in a song or in a conversation, it takes me back to being a kid and first learning to drive and being with my friends. And, you know, you're confined as a kid. You can't really do anything until your parents say you can. But, man, when you get your keys for that first time and you're able to start venturing out into the world, it's just very symbolic of the literal act of going around a windy country road. So that song has just always spoke to me. What I didn't know before we talked about this project was the history behind that song. And I didn't realize that John Denver did not start to write that song, that he there was a couple that he was friends with, and I forget their names, the Danoffs or something like that. They were in another band. But they had started to write that song, and they, the two of them in Denver, had performed in Washington, D.C. one night, and they had finished up a set, and, you know, they're trying to wind down, and they say, "Hey, well, come back to the house. You know, we're living in Maryland. Meet us at the house, and we want to share this song with you," which eventually becomes Country Roads. Cool. But what I found out was that John Denver, on the way to the house, actually gets in a car wreck and has to be taken to the hospital for a thumb injury that he had. And despite all of that, he still made his way back to the couple's house, and they finished writing that song and performed it the very next night at a show. And anecdotally, you know, I didn't totally fact check this, but they say that they experienced the longest standing ovation they had ever had for a song.
That's pretty cool.
And I thought what was also interesting is that the couple actually had written the song thinking that Johnny Cash would sing it and not John Denver. Oh, wow.
That sounded a lot different, I think.
It would have sounded a lot different. And it's just crazy too, that you know, come to find out, again digging through the song, is that neither Denver or the other couple that had written the song had ever even been to West Virginia. The guy that had started writing the song was from Maryland, talking about this place that just conjured up images, but the Maryland sound didn't sound as good as West Virginia. But pretty cool now that the whole state has in fact adopted that as their anthem, and they play that at every West Virginia college football game.
That's pretty cool.
So that's Country Roads. Toots and the Maytals version is my favorite, but John Denver's is obviously a classic too. My next song is Three Little Birds, Bob Marley. And it's a simple song, right? I don't know the music behind it. You know, can play it on guitar, but it seems like a pretty basic song, and yet it's so profound and has so much meaning behind it. And I think it's very timely for right now. It reminds me of the wonderful world, and meanwhile, you know, noticing and seeing the world for what it is, pressing pause, working through all of this. And I think what's really interesting is that in the lyrics, you know, Bob says, don't worry about a thing. Every little thing's going to be all right. And I think in a way that I take that as actually being something that he's trying to convince himself of at the time, right? Like he was obviously known and well documented that superficial things didn't matter to him. There's a famous interview where there's a clip where a guy asks him, what, you know, are you rich? And he says, what's it mean to be rich? And he talks about, you know, money, possessions, things. And no, I don't have that kind of riches. And I think that despite having this perspective that transcends worldly struggles, I think even at times, all of us, we have these moments where even if we're the most positive people in the world and seemingly have everything on paper, we're still trying to convince ourselves that every little thing is going to be all right. And I definitely see that in our world today, right now.
For sure. Like, one thing I love about him is, like, you know, there's, when you research him, he has, like, whenever he speaks, he's just so poetic. But he, like, it's almost like every time he speaks, you get a quote that's worthy of your wall. Like, because I have a poster in the band room that I put, like right over my head so the kids always see it, because it's like the message I want them to take with them. And it says, he said, one good thing about music is once it hits you, you feel no pain. And he talks about music being his, like, great release, and, you know, and taking the time to stop and smell the roses, like the three little birds. It's like, you know, would you really notice them if you were so busy doing something else? Like, this playlist idea and another idea that I'm currently doing with my band students while we're out is, you know, I had this idea and it came to me because I'm sitting there at the sink, like washing my hands right after breakfast and cleaning up. And all of a sudden, like, this woodpecker comes like flying down, and it's the biggest woodpecker I've ever seen. It's got this brilliant, like, red head. And I'm like, oh my God, like, this looks like it belongs like in the Nature Channel. Like, this, I feel like I'm in a documentary because I'm seeing it, and it's right here. It's live and it's in person. And I'm like, I was like, most mornings, I don't feel like I have the kind of time to sit there and stop like that. And so the other project I had was like having the kids, like, while you're home and don't have anything else to do, like, learn a song you've always wanted to learn and then record yourself and put it out there. And then hopefully, you know, because it was following, you know, what Italy had done, and all around the world, you see musical responses of people singing and still performing like from their balconies because they can't go out, but they got to get whatever they're feeling out, so they're using music to do it. And I was like, you know, do the same thing. If you're getting stir crazy, go play your instrument, go try to change somebody else's perspective, like, make a difference the way you can, because it's, we're limited right now into what we can do, so, but still try to be different, you know. So, and Three Little Birds and What a Wonderful World, and meanwhile, they're all like songs that speak directly to that, you know.
Yeah, I think it's interesting too, just that songs like that somehow find a way of lasting through the decades, right?
Yeah, they're timeless.
Side note too, that you talk about everyone having a Bob Marley quote or something somewhere. My sister-in-law, one of them, gave a part of her speech at my wife and I's wedding that was part of a Bob Marley quote. So it's just, There's nothing that he said that can't be fit into some kind of situation.
And it's not like he was trying to be that poetic. He just really lived that kind of life, you know?
That's it. Yeah, that's a great point. So I'm coming up on the last two songs, man. And the next one I want to talk about is Feeling Good Again by Robert Earl Keane. And this song was the first song that I learned to play on guitar that actually sounded like the song. So I've told this story to some of my students before, but my parents tried to make me learn to play guitar when I was like 6 or 7. And just like you and I are learning soon with young kids, trying to make your kids do something doesn't always work out how you want it to. So I did a couple lessons and I just wasn't feeling it. I always told myself that I didn't like the instructor, but in hindsight, it was probably just because I wasn't making the progress that I wanted to and just didn't have the perseverance to stick it out. So I gave up guitar in my elementary days. And then I picked it back up again when I was probably 21, 22, and started trying to pick away at it and made a little bit more progress, but still wasn't sounding like anything. And I just had too many things to do at 21 and 22. So I just gave up guitar again. I didn't have time to learn to play guitar. So I don't know what made me pick it back up again a third time around 25, 26. But I remember I was sitting down at the Outer Banks and there was a big bonfire going. And my wife's cousin, who had been playing guitar since he was a little kid, and he actually stuck it out. He was just playing. It was just a beautiful setting. I mean, it sounds a little cliche, but like the guy on the beach with his shoes off playing at the bonfire, that was what I was experiencing. And I was just kind of having a moment. It was really cool looking back because I was sitting there looking at him. I was like, you know what? How cool would this be to be able to sit here and play guitar on the beach in front of your kids?
Yeah.
And I didn't no thoughts of kids at the time, like not even married at the time. But then I just decided to pick away and was in a mode at the time where I was listening to a lot of folk music. And this guy from Texas, Robert Earl Keane, came across my playlist one time and wrote this song called Feeling Good Again. And it was a song about him going back to Texas where he was from. And some of the characters are fictional, but they're based on real people. And he was just telling the story, like, you know, his wife was at home and he'd get home from a show or a tour and it'd be late, but he'd still need to wind down. And there was just these places that he could go to and hang out, and all these characters that were in there. And there's a line in there where he talks at the end of the song about a girl coming down the steps and then making eyes across the restaurant and just kind of smiling and hanging out from there. And that's a true story. You know, he would be there. His wife would wake up and know that he's supposed to be home and just knew that he was down at this place hanging out and would just lovingly go down and just join in with the festivities. And it's a great song. So if no one has heard that, definitely check that one out.
Yeah, too. That one reminded me a lot of Meanwhile, like the story he's painting of, you know, this is where it's at, you know. And I thought that was very cool. So I had not heard it before you had suggested it. So that was like one of the songs that's now going to be on my playlist, because I'm like, what? That is a great song. Like, and it sums up like exactly where he is in life, like, and what he's doing, you know. It's pretty cool.
It does. And it has that same Mac McAnally feel to me, in the sense that, like, you just know that these, not only have these guys, they've been through some things and they've lived through it. They've seen things. Like, these are true stories that they're telling. Like, they don't need to make things up. A name might be different. A place might be different just to fit in lyrically. But I mean, these are real storytellers telling their lives, and it's just something that comes across great.
Yeah, and the art of storytelling is just, man, it's like you either have it or you don't. You know, it's like the people that you can sit down and listen to. I have an uncle that's like that. It's just his stories. I'm just immediately like just there, like the picture is painted so vividly, and it's just him talking, but it's, you know, and those that can do it through music are just like, man, they're just unbelievable. You know, it's just cool. I asked so much. It's just because of his ability to do that.
All right, last one. We made it. We got one more song to talk about. And this one for me definitely is a song that speaks to the time that we're in right now currently, and is in a way something that I have been trying to do for the last few years, and something that if there is a kind of last message, even though hopefully we get a couple more of these episodes out to people, but last message for the students that we didn't really get to have that normal closure on the school year with. So that's Kenny yeah. Chesney's Better Boat. And it's been one that's been on the radio the past couple of years, but one I didn't really know the history of. And just to be clear, like everybody has their own way to get into songs, but I just heard this song and it immediately spoke to me. I didn't go and try to see who wrote it or what the history of it was. It was just something that spoke to me the way it came out. But what adds another layer to that is what happened when I actually did dig into this a little bit and found out the story behind the song. And so I'm going to get to that. But first, I just want to talk about his album in general, Song for the Saints, that Better Boat was on. And a few years back, it was when we had big hurricane come through and basically wreck the Virgin Islands. And this was a song where an album where all the proceeds went to the people in Virgin Islands to rebuild. And he has a special place in his heart for Virgin Islands. He's got a house down there. And from what I hear anecdotally, has kind of been accepted. So this was the last song on the album. And so what I found out was he didn't write this song. And side note, which is fine. I know a lot, we could go down the path. A lot of people, especially country people, they get a bad reputation sometimes for not always writing their song. I think that's okay. And this story will tell that. So the song was actually written by a guy named Travis Meadows. And there's an interesting story. Travis Meadows is a singer-songwriter himself. But he heard Kenny Chesney's version. And he heard Mindy Smith in the background singing. And Travis Meadows says that when he heard this, he didn't know why he did it, but he just started crying. And he said it just hit him with something that he had never really felt in that way. Now, what's interesting about Travis Meadows is that he beat cancer when he was a young man. He was addicted to alcohol and drugs, in and out of jail. And he was actually in a recovery meeting, and when he was getting ready to, or the motivation to write this song is that somebody said this in one of the meeting, and the sentence was, serenity is the thing that everybody in those meetings is looking for. We as humans, we're looking for serenity, some kind of peace of mind in this crazy blue ball we live on. Serenity is not found in a calmer sea. It's found in the building of a better boat. And when he heard that, it just naturally lent itself to the song. And he had been singing it for a while, and somehow Kenny Chesney ended up with it. But it's just a powerful story for him, and clearly spoke to the guy who wrote it. But back to my thoughts about it, it's everything that you want for your kids at home, your kids for school. Like, we are just always going to experience some kind of thing that's holding us back. It could be internal, it could be external, but the only way through it, like, we're never going to be able to control that sea. We're never going to be able to control what comes at us. The only thing that we can really control is how we navigate that. And to use the metaphor of building a better boat.
That's deep. Yeah, that It's funny because there's this one quote that I was sitting in a grad school class, and they had a guest speaker come in, and he's like renowned music educator across the world now, but he's just known for his ability to like reach and make differences. And he just said this kind of passing comment, but like, you know, if there was a quote that I use in the classroom for myself and how I want to teach, it's like, he says, it's not whether or not you make a difference, it's what kind of difference will you make. And when I got to thinking about it, you know, it's like, it's a very layered statement, because even if you don't do anything, it makes a difference, but it doesn't make the difference you want it to make. Yeah. And so like life is really how you look at it and how you navigate it. And like I hadn't heard the song until, again, like this is another one that's now on a playlist for me, but like I love the story behind it, because when I was listening to it, I looked down at some of the YouTube comments, and one dad had spoke about how he had lost his son and he was using that song to help him heal, you know. And he was like, he wasn't hearing much once he had lost his son, because it was a very unfair thing that happened, and he just was having a really hard time navigating it. And and he said, you know, for whatever reason, this song caught him the right way, and he said it's let me at least start the healing process. And I was just like, man, that's powerful. Like, is, you know, it's just like Dave Matthews wrote the song, a song called Funny the Way It Is, and he talks about how, you know, there's one lyric in there about somebody's like breakup song, it could be your favorite song, like, you know. And it's just like, wow, like,
yeah.
It's just really how you look at it, and you have no idea, like, when you're going through it, what you going, the process of you going through it is going to do for somebody else. And it's all about, like, you know, it's like an inadvertent pay it forward. And Better Boat was just, it's there too. Like, you know, I can see why Kenny Chesney looked to Mac McAnally for some of his songs, and why he looked, you know, why he, Kenny Chesney also looked to like the Meadows guy, you know, because I always think like probably the best well-known songwriter that has like a terrible voice is like Bob Dylan. And a lot of people just don't like his voice. Yeah. He feels whiny, but like his lyrics and his songs are amazing. And so many people have sung his songs.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize it, but he wrote the song Wagon Wheel that Old Crow Medicine Show and Darius Rucker do. And that's actually a Bob Dylan song. And I didn't even know that, you know? Yeah, and it's just like,
I didn't know that either.
Here it is, timeless again. And sometimes it's not about who sings the song or who writes the song as much about who sings it, so that way it can hit somebody the way it needs to hit them. Because if you're not hearing it the way you want to hear it, then, you know, it's just like with your other song, Country Roads, like the Jamaican version was awesome because you hear it and you can envision yourself like it was actually written in Jamaica. Like, you know, they paint the picture very vividly, but like it's not actually written for Jamaican, but like he kind of took ownership of the song and made it theirs. And, you know, nobody's going to tell somebody in Jamaica like, oh, well, no, you shouldn't think of it that way, you know, because, you know, it's so cool how music can be that way. It's like, you don't have to agree. And that's the beauty of it. That's one thing I love about music. You don't have to agree.
Yes, sir. And I just want to add something you talked about, a songwriter that people didn't like, the voice, Bob Dylan, obviously one of those. Just recently lost one that I think fits that bill too, in John Prine. I think he's also one that people were turned off just by his sound, but kept doing his thing and will go down in history as one of the greatest.
Ironically, when he was sick, Mac McAnally sang one of his songs for him and made it like a little Facebook video and shared it out there, and said, you know, was telling John he loved him and was wishing him luck as he was going through all of it. And, you know, it just was crazy to me. It's just, you know, just crazy.
All right, so we have gone through 8 songs that we are going to put together on a playlist. Mr. Tinsley sent these out in a spreadsheet. Mr. Vest is working on getting them together in one massive playlist and sent out over multiple platforms. In the meantime, to really hear this episode with the music, we got to have people download the Anchor app. However, if you're not listening to this on Anchor and you're on Spotify, Apple Music, you won't hear the music in between the segments, which is fine. It doesn't matter to us. You can listen to them on your own time, which you definitely should. But if you want to listen to it the way that we created it, it's got to be on the Anchor app. And I just want to circle back to that piece that you mentioned about potentially reaching out to teachers about the songs that they chose and their favorite songs. Yeah, do that with us too, from the podcast. I mean, you can comment on the podcast itself. You can leave comments down there. Schoology email. I mean, the people listening, y'all know how to get in touch with your teachers and us, and we would love to keep the conversation going. Also, I think this would be cool to do if anyone would like to recommend some songs to us to talk about on this for the next episode. I'm sure we'd be happy to jump in and
see what we can find out about those as well. Like, I'm envisioning this thing being like when you do watch something on YouTube, you get to see what is being, you know, what you're watching. You can see how people comment, which is cool. But like over to the right, you also get other suggestions of some things that are related. And that's one of the things I love about YouTube, because one of the things when I'm tired of the music I've got is I'll go and put in one of my favorite songs and then see what the suggestions are on the right and then keep clicking until I find gold. So, you know, and I think there's something to be said for that. And can never have too long of a playlist. You know what I mean?
Never, never. All right, Mr. Tinsley. Well, we are officially done. I think that's a wrap for episode
one. Yeah, man. I appreciate you having me on here, and appreciate you putting together the playlists for others to be able to take in as well, and putting this podcast together. It's fun to talk about it, man. Can always talk about music. I love it.
Yes, sir. We'll
do it again.
All right.